Ladies and gentlemen, we are now beginning the conference call. If you get disconnected during the call, please call 1-888-409-6709. Again, the number to get reconnected is 1-888-409-6709. At this time, your line is muted and will continue to remain muted during the duration of the call. To ask a question or if you have a comment, please press star 1. If at any time during the conference you need assistance, please press star 0. I would now like to introduce Joanne Carter, Executive Director of Results, located in Washington, D.C., to open the call.
Thanks very much, Operator, and welcome everyone to the Results Domestic National Conference call for August 2013. I just first want to say it was great to see many of you in Washington, D.C. just a few weeks ago at the Results International Conference. And for those of you that weren't there, it was our biggest conference in our history with some 500 people, and probably the most exciting thing that there were many, many new folks who were excited to learn more about our work and really build a partnership. And that included powerful allies from Witness to Hunger, Circles, the Food Research and Action Center, and a group of 70 amazing young leaders, 18 to 28, from across the country in our Real Change Scholars Program. And again, one of the most powerful outcomes of that conference is that many of these young activist leaders and many of the other new allies who attended the conference for the first time have expressed interest in either joining existing results chapters or starting new ones. And hopefully some of the new folks are on the call this month, and so welcome to you. But again, really one of the most important things we can do to build our strength, our reach, and our partnerships. And we also had, we're still counting the exact numbers, but we also had over 300 Hill meetings. And I hope you know that your meetings at the International Conference, the meetings that you had before the conference, and the media that you've been generating have been really critical, particularly for protecting SNAP so far. But we also know that the SNAP program is facing, in some ways, even more dire challenges coming back in September, and that's a lot of the focus of our call today. I also wanted to say that I think it was important and inspiring to see many partners who work on global issues at the conference who also advocated in support of SNAP during their Hill visits because of the immense importance of this issue and really our clarity on the need to bring all of our capacity to bear to stop cuts to this crucial anti-hunger and anti-poverty program. And so it was really in many ways all of us coming together to support this. And this month, I think we have a really important opportunity to build on your work throughout the year, to build on last month's Hill visits for those of you that were in D.C., because members of Congress are home this month for the Congressional August recess, as you know. And this is the best time to have face-to-face meetings with your members of Congress and make your voice heard. Because budget decisions impacting SNAP, but also early childhood education and child care and other key anti-poverty programs will likely be made in September. So it's absolutely critical we get members of Congress to know what we want now. And those face-to-face meetings as constituents are the single most powerful tool we have to impact members of Congress, and this is the best time to do it. So I know last month many of you submitted requests for face-to-face meetings with your members of Congress, your reps and senators during the recess. If you made those requests and you don't yet have a confirmed meeting, I just say please follow up. Joss is going to talk later in this call in more detail about that follow-up, but really key. And if you haven't made a request, just to know that it is not too late. They are out of Washington and in the districts for the entire month of August. They don't come back till after Labor Day, so this is a really good time to find the time to get a meeting. And it's also a time to track down your members of Congress when they have town hall meetings or other kinds of forums. That's a place both to be able to ask questions and raise issues publicly, but also a chance to have a few minutes face-to-face where you can ask for a longer meeting. So really take advantage of those now because September is going to be a critical time. And the call today is designed, really it's set up to prepare you for those meetings, so let me just run through the agenda quickly. First, we have a great guest speaker, Roberta Downing from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, who's going to talk to you about the latest on SNAP and also how to make the most of the August recess. She's going to be introduced a little bit later, but I just want to say I had the privilege of working with Roberta when she worked for Senator Sherrod Brown, and she's really an incredibly committed, knowledgeable, and savvy advocate, and we're really lucky to have her as an ally and advisor in our work and also to have her on this call. So, and she can also really answer your questions as well about the importance of those face-to-face meetings because she's been on the other side of it from the Hill. Then Jocelyn is going to review the August monthly action and lead an advocacy training. Ann Beltran will update us on tax and early childhood campaigns. Meriden Thompson is going to take shares from you about your experiences at the recent Results International Conference, so please start preparing for that now because we hope to hear from a bunch of you. Cindy Levin will give us a fundraising update, and she'll run the roll call, and we'll end with a few announcements. Before I turn the call over, I do want to make one important announcement, so please listen up. We are changing the date of the September conference call. So it's going to change from September 14th to September 7th. So from the second Saturday in September to that to September 7th, a week earlier than usual because the second Saturday is the 14th is actually the Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur. So please mark that on your calendar, Saturday, September 7th for the conference call. I also want to, just before I turn it over, I want to say a really huge thanks to Katya Klein, to Erilyn Gray, and to Ann Beltran, all who have played an incredibly important role in our domestic work this summer, particularly with Meredith Dodson on maternity leave. And lastly, a really huge thanks also to Jocelyn, who has managed all of this in Meredith's absence in a very challenging political time and with our biggest conference ever. So we have had a really great team, and I want to thank all of them. And now I'm going to turn the call over to Jocelyn to introduce our guest.
Thank you, Joanne. We appreciate it. Good afternoon, folks. I am very, very pleased to introduce Roberta Downing for our conference call guest. Roberta is a senior legislative associate at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. And if you don't know the Center on Budget, their work is impeccable, and we certainly use their resources a great deal in our work. She joined in October 2009 to work on domestic policy issues including health care, food assistance, income maintenance, climate change, and related issues. Before joining the center, she handled health care, Social Security, and older Americans policy, as Joanne said, for Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio. Prior to working for Senator Brown, she was a postdoctoral fellow at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health as part of the W.K. Kellogg Community Health Scholars Program. She also served as a congressional fellow in the Health Policy Office of the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, or HELP Committee. Roberta completed her Ph.D. in social psychology at the University of California, Santa Cruz. And Roberta, welcome to the results call for August 2013.
Thank you very, very much. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Very great.
Okay. Thank you very much for having me on the call, and thank you so much for all the work that you're going to be doing on SNAP this summer and hopefully into the fall, too. I have such a respect for results, and I'm just so impressed by the work that everybody does around the country. I remember meeting with results advocates when I worked for Senator Brown, and you all do really, really important work, and I'm extremely grateful that you're going to be doing meetings with members of Congress on this bill that's coming up. So right before the August recess, House leadership announced that they would be bringing a SNAP bill to the floor. And if I know that you all have been following the Farm Bill and SNAP policy over the last year, and so you know you probably know that there was a bipartisan House Ag Committee Farm Bill that we felt was a very harmful bill. It actually passed the House Ag Committee on a strong bipartisan basis with $20 billion in cuts to the program. That proposal, when it went to the House floor, ended up failing. They didn't have the votes to pass the bill because of some extremely harmful amendments that were adopted on the floor that many Democratic members wouldn't accept. And so in response to the failure of that bill on the floor, House leadership brought an ag-only farm bill to the floor. So for decades, both nutrition policy like SNAP and TFAP has been combined with ag policy. And there's a very strategic reason for that. It provides reasons for both urban and rural members of Congress to care about the Farm Bill and to help get it passed every 5 years when it needs to be reauthorized. The fact that the House split nutrition off from Ag Committee is unprecedented and is really quite extreme. So that Ag-only Farm Bill passed on a purely partisan vote. No Democrats voted in favor of it. And House leadership said that they would be taking up a separate nutrition bill that would handle the SNAP program. And so that bill, that's the bill that is supposed to come to the House floor the first week that they're back from recess is what we're hearing. So that's the week of September 8th. It would probably hit the floor around September 10th or 11th. But it's truly an egregious bill. It takes, let me just check in real quick. Joss, is it okay that I'm going through the bill? I just remembered.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So it would basically take the already harmful $20 billion in cuts that were adopted by the House Ag Committee and doubles those to $40 billion in cuts. So just to kind of remind folks about what the original bill had, the original $20 billion came up, or the provisions, one was a heat and eat provision that I think you're all familiar with. The second cut was getting rid of categorical eligibility in SNAP, which I think you also are familiar with, and would have resulted in 2 million people being kicked off the program altogether. In addition to the 2 million people, 210,000 children would lose access to the school lunch program, and another 850,000 people would have their benefits cut on average by $90 a month. So that was already an extremely harmful bill. What the new bill, and you know, we have not seen, I don't think anybody has seen actual bill language, but there have been quite a few details released by House leadership to the media. And what they have said is that they would take all of those original cuts, they would include all the amendments, the very harmful amendments that were adopted on the House floor. So a quick review of those. One amendment would have required drug testing of every SNAP recipient. Another amendment, has an ex-offender ban where people who've been convicted of certain violent crimes would be banned from SNAP for their entire lives. And then there was a third amendment. It's often referred to as the Sutherland Amendment because Congressman Sutherland introduced it. That amendment would require that everybody on SNAP participate in work in at least a half-time basis in order to receive SNAP benefits. And that includes women, single moms with children above 1 year of age. So a lot of the rhetoric around the Sutherland Amendment is that this will, you know, it'll encourage people to work. It's often called a work requirement. It's actually not a work requirement. Congress usually, when they decide to impose work requirements, for example, with the TANF program, they provide states resources to help people get into job training or to get subsidized employment or somehow meet the work requirement. The Sutherland Amendment does none of that, and so if folks aren't working at least 20 hours a week or in a job training slot, they're cut off the program. No, and it doesn't matter, you know, I mean, one of the important, usually with work requirements, states provide child care or transportation or other work supports that low-income families need. The Sutherland Amendment does none of that, so it's essentially provides states an excuse to cut people off the program. One of the very, another extremely egregious aspect of this amendment is that states then get to keep half of the savings from the number of folks who leave the SNAP program, and they can use those savings however they want to. They can use them for tax cuts. They can use them to fill budget holes. So those are all the provisions that would be in this bill. And the other way that they get their savings in this bill is a little bit more complicated, but achieves huge amounts of savings and would result in about up to 4 million more people losing benefits immediately. This provision targets what are called able-bodied adults without dependents. In the SNAP program, there is a 3-month time limit for people, single adults without kids, where they either have to work for 20 hours a week in order to get SNAP benefits or be in a job training program for 20 hours a week. During periods of high unemployment, states can waive out of that requirement, and most every state has done so in the recession and in its aftermath. And so what this other provision would do is basically get rid of that waiver authority for states. And so it really means that an extremely vulnerable group of people will lose what is really the only safety net program that they can access. So to give a few, a little bit of a description, I know Joss has really the important points about this on the PowerPoint in front of you. But to give you, these are extremely poor people. We did some analysis of the demographics of this group, and the average income of this group of people is 22% of the federal poverty line. So that's about $2,500 that people are living on per year. A lot of the folks that will be targeted by this provision are homeless or on teetering on homelessness and are really in dire straits financially. 40% are women. And so one thing that I also wanted to kind of mention, well, is that, you know, what the, a lot of the rhetoric you'll probably hear from members who support this bill is that it's a work requirement. And I think it's really important to push back on that rhetoric. It has nothing to do with work requirements. It's really about imposing a time limit on people who often have very low skills and are the hardest hit in recessions and usually have the hardest time finding employment. All of these cuts, these $40 billion in cuts, would come on top of an across-the-board cut that's in SNAP that starts on November 1st. So there was a boost in SNAP benefits that was part of the stimulus bill that runs out on November 1st. And so it's the first time in the program that there will be an across-the-board cut. And it'll result in about $36 less in food benefits per month for a family of four. So everybody on SNAP is already going to be experiencing a cut apart from whatever comes about when they find a resolution to the farm bill. I wanted to mention something else in terms of framing. For the last, these cuts in SNAP have come all about kind of in the name of deficit reduction. And, it's important to recognize that for the last 30 years, every major deficit reduction proposal has been negotiated according to a principle of not increasing poverty or hunger or economic inequality. So most all deficit reduction that has been done for decades has been done by not asking low-income programs to contribute to deficit reduction. And that even includes the President's Bull-Simpson Fiscal Commission, which you probably hear a lot of lawmakers refer to as this great plan for deficit reduction. All the deficit reduction in that plan was achieved without hitting low-income programs. And so this is really kind of a new era where we're looking at a program that provides one of the most basic things that family needs, and that is food. And we're cutting, the proposals are to cut millions of people off these programs, often in the name of saying that people need to get work or need to be working, even though unemployment still remains very high. Unemployment is still at 7.4%. And even though large numbers of people on SNAP are already working, So, you know, they're often just underemployed, so maybe one worker in the family lost their job and they're relying on one income. Or a lot of low-income workers are accessing jobs that don't employ them full-time, and so they're underemployed and still living in poverty. So I'll stop there, Joss. And,
okay, great. Thanks, Roberta.
Yeah.
So thank you for that overview. That's great, providing details of what these new cuts are going to how they're going to affect low-income folks. So before we open it up for our volunteers, and if you want to ask a question, go ahead and get into the queue now. Press star 1 to get into the queue. But briefly, Roberta, before we go to the volunteers, you know, because of your work with the center and being here in D.C. and also your work with, Senator Brown, you know, I'm sure you had a lot of interaction with constituents and folks in the field on these issues. So, from that D.C.'s perspective, you know, how important is it for us to be talking to them this month about these issues?
Well, it's extremely important. I can't emphasize enough how important it is. One thing that we're doing over the August recess is targeting a lot of House Republican members. They only need about 18 votes to pass this bill. So if we could peel off 18, you know, Republicans, the bill wouldn't be able to pass, and that would be a success. So if any of your volunteers are living in the districts of a Republican member of Congress, the more that they can meet with the member, go to town halls, ask questions publicly of the member, that both educate everybody at the town hall on what the cuts would do and ask the member how they plan to vote, I think that would be extremely helpful. I think showing up at the members' offices and having meetings with the members, meetings with the district staff, and is extremely helpful. A lot of members end up going to state fairs, and so going to talk to them about SNAP at state fairs is very helpful. I mean, one thing that I'm worried about is, you know, when we had a report from one of our advocates who had gone to a town hall with two Democrats that were at this town hall, two Democratic members of Congress, and he reported back that there were a lot of people in the room that were talking about the farm bill and were unhappy about it not passing, and they were a lot of farmers that were worried about the ag portion of the bill, and he was the only person that brought up the nutrition aspect of the bill. And so I think that's a problematic dynamic that we need to raise, you know, have an equal voice to the ag community about the need to protect the SNAP program. I think another thing that really gets members, or I know it really gets members' attention, is placing op-eds in local newspapers of your members of Congress is extremely, it always gets their attention. I mean, their press people collect all the newspaper clips that they're mentioned in every day, and the staff read those articles, and the member reads those articles. So that's another really good way to get their attention. And also, I think, engaging the religious community and religious leaders in the district, to asking them to meet with a member of Congress or to write op-eds, and because they can really kind of get out of the political arguments and talk about the moral arguments around these kinds of cuts.
Great. Thank you so much, Roberta. Those are great insights for our folks. So let's we got a few minutes left, so let's see if folks out there in the field have any questions. Anthony, are there anybody in the queue?
Not at this time, sir, but I would like to remind your listeners with questions and comments, they can press star 1. Again, that's star 1 on the telephone keypad. We do have a question that comes from Northampton.
Go ahead, Massachusetts.
Hi, this is Jenny from Results Pioneer Valley. I'm wondering if you all have had any chance to do any sort of calculations on how this proposed bill will affect things like food pantries and church charities, you know, what the burden is going to be on them. I know that may not be in your purview, but in thinking about talking with folks about this, I know that I want to be able to talk about the effect of these cuts. So I'm just wondering about that.
Yeah, I think that's an extremely important point to make, and I know groups like Feeding America are making that point. There's no question that, if these folks were to be cut off the program, that there would be increased demand on food pantries, and there's already a huge demand on food pantries. And so I think that's an extremely important issue to bring up, especially because lots of times members of Congress will say, oh, well, charity can take care of these things. The government doesn't have to have a role in providing food assistance. You know, local charities should be playing that role. And so I think talking about how food banks are already overburdened and, you know, a lot of them run out of food before they're able to feed all the people that are there waiting for help, and that this would really increase demand there. I think that's a great point.
Thanks, Jenny. Anthony, do you have anyone else?
We do, sir. The next comes from Minneapolis.
Go ahead, Paul.
Hi, Roberta. I'm curious where we might invite a congressperson to go to experience the nature of some of the hunger that gets treated by SNAP. Is there a place where we might be able to invite a congressperson to visit that would illustrate some of this?
I think that's a great idea. I think summer feeding programs, I'm not sure what kind of summer feeding programs there are in the Twin Cities, they're all around the country. So inviting them to summer feeding programs, inviting them to soup kitchens, inviting them to food banks, I think all of those are really, really important. And, you know, allowing them an opportunity to meet the people who need help is extremely important. I can't tell you how many times that I'm in hearings about low-income programs, and everybody is talking about numbers, and, you know, nobody is talking about the real lived experience of poverty and the challenges that poor people are facing in every single day life, and they're often raising children in extremely difficult circumstances. And so I think providing as many opportunities as possible to expose members of Congress to that would be great, and particularly for you all, to the extent that you can try to put pressure on Mr. Klein and Mr. Paulson, that would be extremely effective. And I know, as you know, the Minnesota State Fair is a popular place for members of Congress to go in August, so that could be a venue.
Thank you.
As well, even though it's not a food pantry, but it's definitely a venue for talking to your members of Congress.
Thanks, Paul. That's great. Anthony, I think we have time for one more question. Anyone in the queue?
Yes, sir, and that comes from Santa Fe.
Go ahead, Santa Fe.
This is Lydia in Santa Fe. My question is your organization planning to do this month any kind of an analysis state by state in terms of what cutting 4 to 6 million people off, or what that actual dollar cut would mean for a given state?
You know what? Some of those, we have state-by-state analyses of the different provisions of the bill. For some of the provisions, it's hard to get an exact how it would affect households on an individual basis. But we are going to be releasing a paper because we have several papers on the different provisions in the bill. We are going to be releasing one paper that describes everything that I talked about here in this call with a state-by-state chart to the extent that the state-by-state information is available.
Great, thank you.
That should be coming out. It might come out next week, so I can definitely, I'll forward that to Josh.
Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Great. Well, Roberta, time flies when we're having a good conversation, but thank you so much for being on the call today. The information you provide was very important and very informative, and I know that our volunteers appreciate it and will definitely be able to use that in their meetings this month. And so, and we're happy to work with you and the center going forward on making sure that you know, this message gets out and we do the best we can to protect SNAP over the next couple of months. So thank you again for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much to everybody for all the work you're doing. Thanks.
Okay, folks, so so as Roberta and Joanne talked about, you know, this is an important month for us. You know, the success of the results of the National Conference was a great preview or a great preface to getting following up on that success this month. As you know, the members of Congress are going to be home through Labor Day, and as we've learned, they're going to be making some big decisions when they get back. And so this is going to be our last chance to talk to them before they actually make those decisions. But fortunately, we're ready for that. You know, as you know, last month we focused on scheduling meetings for the International Conference and the August recess. And so now let's make the most of those meetings. So if you put in your request for a face-to-face meeting during the August recess but haven't heard back, now is the time to call your House and Senate schedulers to confirm those meetings. And as we know, very well know, we can't rely on them calling us back. We have to do the follow-up. So when you do so, be polite, but it's okay to be persistent as well. Members have a lot of demands on their time, and sometimes you have to push a little to get those meetings. And you can always find scheduler names and contact information on the elected officials page on the results website. Now, if you haven't put in your request for a face-to-face meeting yet, it's not too late either. They'll be home for another month, and so you can still put in those requests. And we actually have an updated lobby request letter that you can download it's linked to in the update from last week, and it's in the PowerPoint today, and we'll put it in next week's update as well, that you can use to tailor and then email or fax that in. Also, as Joanne pointed out, and as Roberta pointed out, this is another opportunity to talk to members of Congress this month is with town halls. You know, a lot of folks are already doing town halls this month. They started this week, and this is a really good opportunity to get them to publicly take a stand on our issues. So when you're calling your schedulers about your meetings, be sure to ask them if they are having any town halls this month, and also regularly check their websites to see if they have anything listed there. And as you look at slide 7 of the PowerPoint, and if you don't have the PowerPoint, you can download it from the results homepage under the Take Action box in the top right-hand corner. But as you can see on slide 7, there's some tips there for having an effective town hall. So the August action has all the information that you need to get ready for these meetings. It provides tips on how to make the most of town halls. It links to resources on how to request meetings. And it even has sample questions on all three of our 2013 campaigns that you can use in these meetings and town halls. So that leads me into doing our advocacy training for this month. And that training is going to be to actually start preparing for these meetings. We're going to draft a question about SNAP for House members that you can use in your meetings and town halls. SNAPs obviously are still our most important issue, although, you know, as I said, the action sheet has questions for the rest of our issues. But we want to focus on SNAP today, and we're here to help you. So if you look at slide number 8 in the PowerPoint, you'll see that there's some talking points about SNAP. So as we go through this exercise, look over those talking points, and if you find them useful, then use them as we go through it. It's something that Roberta told you on the call, which was a lot of good information, you know, and you find that compelling, use that in this exercise. Maybe you're more of a storyteller. If so, use those personal experiences or stories to paint a picture about the importance of SNAP as we go through this. Also, as you remember, you know, you can always use the Epic Laser Talk format to help you. E for engaging the listener, P for stating the problem, I for informing them about the solution, and C for stating a clear and specific call to action. And on slide 9, you can actually see a sample laser talk about SNAP. But the key to this is to make it your question. You know, why do you care about ending poverty? Why do you want to protect SNAP and hungry families and children? Tap into those feelings and those motivations as you outline your question. So what we're going to do now is we're going to pause. You're going to be silent on the phone for a few minutes while you start to draft out a question, and you can do this on your own or with your group. group. And then after a few minutes, we're going to come back and see what people came up with. And remember, it doesn't have to be perfect, and you don't necessarily have to complete it. We may not have time to complete everything. It's just to get the juices flowing and get us in the process of doing it. So Anthony, if we can just silent the line for a few minutes, and we'll come back. I'll signal you, Anthony, when we want to come back and have some folks share what they came up with.
Thank you, sir. Good luck,
folks, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Couple more minutes, folks, then we'll be back. Anthony, am I live?
You are, sir.
Okay. Hi, folks. Well, so we'll come back now, and thanks for taking a few minutes to start drafting questions. So we're going to take a few examples of what folks came up with during this exercise. So if you press star 1 to get in the queue, we'd like to hear briefly what kind of questions you've come up with. So, Anthony, anyone in the queue?
Not at this moment, sir. Okay, we've just had a line come in, and that's from Northampton again.
Go ahead, Northampton.
Hi. Okay, here's mine. 1 in 7 Americans received SNAP in 2012, and I know one of these Americans. If the current House Nutrition proposed nutrition bill and amendments are passed, my friend from Greenfield will lose access to food. There are many more that I know, employed and unemployed, senior and disabled, housed and homeless, whose nutrition will suffer, hospitals will fill, and state costs will increase with the health care needs. I need you to champion a no vote on any House, on the new House proposal for the nutrition bill with any added amendments. Can you tell me that you'll vote no on this bill?
Great, Jenny. That's perfect. Kind of mixing personal experience with the policy stuff. That's a great illustration. Thank you so much for sharing. Anthony, anyone else in the queue?
Yes, sir. We move now to the line of Santa Fe.
Go ahead, Santa Fe.
Judith, I would like to ask one of our representatives or more if they would consider forming something similar to the Gang of Eight, which was both parties trying to work on the subject of immigration. If we could have something similar for SNAP.
And what would be the purpose of the Gang of Eight? What would you want them to, what would be the outcome you'd want them to do? So if you're, I'm just imagining asking them to do it, they're going to say, what do you want me to do with it?
To address the question of how to save SNAP, to work with both parties toward increasing aid rather than decreasing it.
That's great, Santa Fe. Thank you. That's great. Anthony, anyone else in the queue?
No, Mr. Lynn, not at this time.
We actually have one here in Des Moines, so let me have Frank share. Frank Driscoll.
Well, my question would be, the programs that you're talking about cutting didn't cause the deficit, so why should they bear the cost of balancing the budget again?
Great. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it. That's a good point to remind folks that, you know, the low-income folks and low-income programs get the blame for the deficit, but they're not the ones that are causing it. So a good point. Anyone in the queue, Anthony?
Yes, sir. We have a question from Chicago.
Okay. We'll do this will be the last one. Go ahead, Chicago.
Yes. I would ask if the representative is prepared to continue to support the unemployed and growing underemployed population that has been created by the recent recession, and which has been even more devastating for people that haven't the skills to enter a service economy. And I would ask that he sponsor a bill to vote, you know, for increases in the SNAP program, since we know that there are additional people in our country who are now underemployed.
Great. That's a great point, Joyce, in linking the issue of unemployment with the SNAP program. And as Roberta talked about, how the cuts that they're planning to do, these additional cuts, would be targeted specifically for folks that are struggling to find work. So great point. Well, thanks, folks. We hope you. We know this wasn't a lot of time to process and drafting questions, but we hope the exercise at least got you thinking about it. And we would definitely urge you to spend a few minutes after today's call planning out the questions that you're going to ask when you go to town halls or when you go to meetings. And as always, you know, please know that we on the U.S. Poverty Staff are here to help you in doing this. You know, please feel free to contact me at jlynn@results.org or Ann Beltran at abeltran@results.org to help you, you know, when you get these meetings set up or if you're planning to go to town hall, we're happy to help you get prepared for your specific members of Congress. And speaking of Ann, now we're going to transition and do a brief update on our other tax and early childhood campaigns. So, Ann, are you there?
Yes, Josh. Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Hi, everyone. I want to give you a brief update on some of our other legislative priorities. As you recall, last month we talked about the importance of helping low-income Americans build savings and assets. We heard about the Financial Security Credit, which would allow low-income taxpayers to deposit all or part of their tax refunds in a savings account right on their tax return, and the government would match their deposit. Many of you talked about the Financial Security Credit with your members of Congress at the Results International Conference. We have some good news now. We have a bill that could make the credit a reality. Last week, Representative Jose Serrano of New York introduced the Financial Security Credit Act of 2013. The bill number is H.R. 2917. The bill already has 22 co-sponsors, and we certainly want to get more. So as you meet with representatives this month, urge them to co-sponsor the bill to build support for this innovative idea. You can also use our online email alert to push for the credit as well, and that's found on our U.S. Poverty Actions and News page. Just a note about the credit, it's a little different from the saver's bonus introduced a few years ago in that the match is lower and there's a grace period to get the match. And we'll be sharing more details about these differences in next week's update. On early childhood, in July, the Senate Appropriations Committee approved a major new investment in early learning with significant funding increases for Head Start, Early Head Start, and child care. Unfortunately, we don't expect the same from the House. In fact, they're looking at cuts. This means we're in for another nasty budget fight over fiscal year 2014 budget. And that'll be this September, yes, next month, and a government shutdown is not out of the question. As you meet with representatives and senators this month, remind them of the importance of early learning to America's children and urge them to support the funding levels in the Senate bill, a $1.6 billion increase for Head Start and Early Head Start, a $176 million increase for the Child Care Development Block Grant, and $750 million to expand preschool in the states. You can also send an email to Congress about supporting these investments in early learning using our online alert, also found on our website. If you have questions about these issues, please don't hesitate to contact me or Joss. Now let me turn it over to Mirden Thompson for our shares section.
Mirden, are you there?
I am here. Am I on the line?
Yep, go ahead.
Hi, everyone. This is Mirden Thompson, one of the U.S. poverty organizers here at Results. I'm happy to facilitate our shares section this month. As you know, we recently completed our biggest Results International Conference ever. We had 500 people from around the world join us in D.C., all committed to creating a world free of poverty. Many people said it was our best conference ever, and we'd like to hear what you think. So this month's shares, we want to hear from you about your conference experience. Go ahead and press star 1 to get into the queue so we can hear your story. And just so we can keep things focused and get to as many shares as we can, I'd like you to do this. Imagine you're talking to a friend you want to persuade to come to the 2014 Results Conference. In 1 minute, what one thing would you share about your conference experience this year to convince them to come? Operator, do we have anyone in the queue?
We do, ma'am, and our first share is from Columbus.
Hi, Columbus. Who's on the line?
Hi, this is Jenny Vogt from Columbus. How are you?
Hi, Jenny. Tell us about your results experience.
Well, the thing that I loved about this conference was the participation by people who are actually presently living in poverty as some of our speakers, and I was so inspired by that. I did something I've been wanting to do for a long time, which is I went down to our community resource center nearby, which has a food pantry, to a dinner last Tuesday where people who can't you know, don't have enough money for food, we're having dinner together. And I got some of them to talk about being on SNAP and write letters to our representative, which I'm faxing, and they invited me back every week. So I'm going to go back and get involved with them and volunteer there and also get letters to fax to him or send to him every week throughout the recess to see if we can appeal to his conscience.
That's great. Thanks, Jenny. That sounds like a great idea for others to example from. So I might have to do that myself. Operator, do we have anyone else?
Yes, ma'am. The next share is from Santa Fe.
Hi, Santa Fe. Chime on in.
This is Kitty Sherlock, and the thing I liked was similar to what Jenny said. We brought two people from a group called Circles, and it's a national program to help people in poverty one by one, kind of. But these two people came, and they were great testifiers in our meetings with Congress, and they're also now planning a domestic chapter of Results in Albuquerque, and they're also planning a Circles chapter in Santa Fe. So Circles is another good source of people with real-life testimony.
I agree. In fact, I get to see you all next month. I'm very excited about that. Josh, do we have time for one more?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, operator, is there anyone else in the call?
Yes, ma'am. The last share comes from Minneapolis.
All right, Minneapolis, you're on.
Okay. One of the people who came to the conference newly this past year, this past month, was a lady from the Witness Group who had never been to D.C. before, much less to Congress. And Nancy and I accompanied her on Monday, I think it was, right, Nancy? And a visit to the aid about hunger and about both national and international, we found several kinds of barriers, difficulties to address. One of them about the amount of supposed waste in food stamp programs. So what this was, rather than just some kind of a barrier, I think was a spur for us and this young woman to do some research and come back and talk with our aide. And so actually the woman was from Northfield, Minnesota, and which is in the 2nd District. So she's an ally, and she and I will be able to work with Nancy in crafting a response to the person with whom we met. And that's something we are working on and going to get back to this coming week.
That's great. You know, I'm sure that Joss would say we'd love to see what you come up with because it could benefit others who encounter those same sort of questions or difficulties as sort of a good response. I appreciate everyone chiming in, and I certainly had a great time. It was my first conference and was very excited to be there and just connect with everyone. I know now it's time to go into our next step of the call, which is Cynthia Changet-Levin on fundraising update and roll call. Cindy, are you available?
Thank you very much, Barron. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Great. Well, hi, everyone. It's great to be with you all. This is Cindy Changet-Levin. I'm a fundraising coach with Results, and I have three fundraising announcements for you today. First, thank you to everyone who participated in the Everyday Hero Virtual Dash. We've raised $1,500 with 66 participants. 35 people ran or walked with us at the International Conference in Washington, D.C., and other people ran around the country or walked. On the PowerPoint picture, you can see our group there where our heroes were posing with our nemesis supervillain, the TB bacterium. If you still want to earn the Everyday Hero Medal, our webpage is going to be in the call notes, and it is open until August 15th. If you'd like to organize your own run or walk for Results locally, we still have about 30 medals left that we'd be happy to share for your donors at no cost to you. My second item is to let you know how you can celebrate special moments in your life with Results. We now have celebration donation envelopes to help you honor people or life events with a gift to end poverty. Your recipient will be informed of your thoughtful gift with a note from the Washington, D.C. office. So send a note to me at clevin@results.org if you'd like to have some of these envelopes for your group. Thank you to Ellen Kempler of Miami who brought this idea to us and helped make it a reality. Thank you also to our own Myrdan Thompson, who you just heard from. She is using our Celebration online fundraising page, hopefully to get 44 friends to donate to Results for her 44th birthday. So to see an example of how you could do the same, you can visit her page. That's going to be in the call notes too. It's www.tinyurl.com/Myrdan44. And lastly, while many of you are sitting together with your groups, this is an excellent time to put a date on the calendar for a fundraising event if you haven't already. I know that I left the International Conference very excited about expanding our impact. And an event is a great strategy both for fundraising and to do this expansion work into neighboring districts. If you have folks that went to Washington for the IC, right now is an ideal time to put together a house party or a backyard barbecue where you can personally tell your lobbying stories to your allies at home and new people in key areas. Just think of it as asking your friends to donate the cost of one dinner or date night out to Results to help end poverty. And if you're still nervous about talking, don't worry. Professor Muhammad Yunus and Senator Bennett have got your back. We have video clips of them talking about how awesome we are, so you don't have to be alone. For groups that have the capacity to take on a little more, you still have plenty of time to work up a larger event for the fall and shoot to bring in 50 people or more. Jennifer DeFranco is the other fundraising coach. She and I are happy to help you plan, so please reach out to me at clevin@results.org, and let's get a date on the calendar. So now let's do the month's roll call. Here are the questions we want you to answer this month. Number one is how many people are in the room? And number two, how many requests for face-to-face meetings or town hall appearances your group will try to schedule during the August recess? In a minute, the operator will begin calling your groups by city. And when your city is called, simply answer the question like this. Our numbers are 6 and 18. Remember, the operator will unmute your phone only when your city is called, so you don't need to do anything to your phone. Again, the questions are, how many people are in the room? And number two, how many requests for face-to-face meetings or town hall appearances your group will try to schedule during the August recess? So, operator, can we begin calling out the groups by city?
Yes, ma'am, we can. We begin in Los Angeles, where two sites have called from the same city. I'm opening both lines.
Go ahead, L.A.
Hi, there's two of us here, and we have a meeting on Tuesday with our representative, Brad Sherman.
Great. Thanks, Anita. What about the other line from L.A.?
The other line is me, one person here, and a meeting set with Henry Waxman for the 28th.
Okay, great.
We move now to North Hills.
Hi, this is Carol from North Hills, and I'm with Anita also in the L.A. area, and we're going to try for five people in the room, five meetings, which would be an additional one to the Brad Sherman meeting.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay, and we are now with San Diego.
Yes, the number four in the room and one meeting.
And we're now in Aurora.
Two and two.
We move now to Stanford. Stanford,
Lucinda, are you there? Is that Stanford, Connecticut?
It is.
Okay.
Stanford, Connecticut.
Yes.
Hi, I thought Stanford. Yeah. Anyway, Stanford, Connecticut, there's one in the room, and we're aiming at three meetings.
Thank you, Anita. I mean, Lucinda, go ahead.
Okay, and we now have the District of Columbia. Nick Aruna with Washington, D.C. Go ahead.
One and zero.
And we're now with Chicago.
One and one.
Next is Des Moines. Go ahead.
Six and three.
And we move now to Salinas, Kansas.
We have three in the room, and we plan two face-to-face meetings.
And next we have Louisville.
One and three.
And we move now to Northampton.
and two.
Cadillac, Michigan, go ahead.
One and one.
And Detroit, Michigan, please go ahead.
Our numbers are four and four.
We now have Minneapolis.
Our numbers are four and six meetings.
And St. Louis, go ahead. Ms. Levin, your sign in St. Louis, go ahead.
One and zero.
Whitefish, Montana, you're online.
One and one.
And we move now to Santa Fe.
Our numbers are six and two.
Next we have Cary, North Carolina.
Our numbers are two and one.
And we now have Cincinnati.
Five and three.
We move now to Columbus.
Seven and two.
And now to Chambersburg.
Well, our numbers are one and two.
Next is Pawleys Island.
Hi, I'm actually going to be working with the new Baltimore group, so one and at zero.
And next we have Houston.
Two and one.
We move now to Arlington.
Three and three.
And we conclude with Charlottesville.
Two and three.
Great, thanks, Anthony. Cynthia, do we have totals?
Yes, you have 65 individuals in enrollment and 53 face-to-face requests.
All right. Thank you. That's great, folks. Thanks so much for committing to go and getting out and getting the word out about SNAP and our other issues this month. So now, I know we're running behind, so I'm going to conclude the call with our final announcements. And as you noted in our PowerPoints, you know, we try to put a picture of the people that are actually facilitating the section of the call. So people were always asking why my picture's never in there. So now you have a picture of me. That's a picture from 1985, and I can tell you I look exactly the same. So now let's conclude the call with some announcements. First, we're still working to grow results, as some folks were talking about doing outreach, which is great. Our staff is also working to do so as well. Jenny Martin has got an outreach meeting to start a new group in Burlington, Vermont next weekend. I'll be working with folks in Kansas City to get a group started there, and Mirden, as we heard, is going to be working with folks in Albuquerque to get a group there in September. So if you know people interested in results in these areas or other areas, please contact us, and we're happy to connect with them. Also, please complete your lobby report forms, whether you did meetings at the International Conference or any meetings you do in August. They're really important for us to keep tracking our success and also helping us support you in your follow-up. So please go to the link that's shown there in the PowerPoint, and we'll also include it in the update in next week's update, and so you can fill out the form there. We have a results introductory call this Wednesday, August 14th at 9 p.m., and the next U.S. Poverty Free Agents call is Tuesday, August 20th at 9 p.m. We're also pleased to announce that there's a position available starting in November in November of this year for the Results Ed Fund Grassroots Board. The Grassroots Board members serve a term of 3 years and represent the volunteer body on the Board of Directors and on the Executive Committee of Results and Results Ed Fund. This is an important position, and we're seeking nominations of results activists who would be strong candidates for this role. So if you know someone who would be a good candidate, please nominate them. Nominations are due by September 24th, and you can email them to Jack McLaughlin at results, which is jmclaughlin@results.org, or you can fax it to him at 202-466-1397. You can find information about these events and other events on the results calendar. And also remember, as Joanne noted at the beginning of the call, next month's results call will be on Saturday, September 7th, the first Saturday of the month, because of the religious holiday on the 14th. So finally, I just want to echo what Joanne said at the beginning of the call and just personally thank our temporary staff members and all the wonderful work that they did this summer. Katja Klein, Ann Beltran, and Erilyn Gray were a tremendous help this year, providing us critical support in our day-to-day activities and helping prepare for and successfully execute the International Conference. We quite literally could not have done it without them. Erilyn left for Mississippi last week and is currently looking for work after graduating from college, Anne will be with us for a few more weeks and will also remain as a volunteer lobbyist for results after that, which we're very happy about. And then, unfortunately, this is Koch's last day. She's going to be returning to her senior year at Washington Lee University in a few weeks. So thank you, Erilyn, Anne, and Katja, for your time and commitment this summer. You know, we wish you all the best in your next adventure and look forward to hopefully working with you again very soon. So, operator, if you wouldn't mind just opening up all the lines so we can all wish a very, very deep thank you to Erilyn, Anne, and Katja.
Thank you.
Great work.
Thank you.
Minnesota, stay on.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
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 Good luck.